Dylan Bundy is great in his Twins debut, and they beat the Mariners to split this four-game set. Let's break it down on today's episode of Locked On Twins.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, April 11th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thank you for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Nash Walker, been writing at Twins Daily for over 2 years, been hosting this podcast for over 2 years. You can follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. You can follow the show at Locked On Twins. We're talking today after another Twins win, two in a row. They split this four-game set with Seattle in yesterday's episode. Talked about the importance of trying to split this week. They have Seattle for four. They've split those 2-2. That's fine against a Seattle team that is expected to contend this year. And, you know, quite frankly, they could have won each of the first two games. They lost by a run in each. They outscore the Mariners in the series 14-10. And the biggest storyline from this series is that they only give up 10 runs in four games. So a Mariners lineup with Adam Frazier, Ty France, Jesse Winker, Mitch Haniger, Eugenio Suarez, they have Julio Rodriguez, the phenom rookie. They have a nice lineup, and the Twins held them to 10 runs in four games. That is the headliner. Today, it was Dylan Bundy. It was the Dylan Bundy show for five innings, five scoreless. Thought he pitched extremely well. His changeup surprised me. We knew he had a good slider, and you could see it's a sharp, nice, high-spin slider he throws and is going to be able to get righties out, I think, this year. Do have some concern against lefties, but he was able to, you know, with good command and with the good changeup, stabilize with Jesse Winker and J.P. Crawford. He did a really nice job. And Adam Frazier as well, those lefties. Thought Dylan Bundy was awesome in this game. And I will tip my cap to him and say I was wrong. I didn't think he was going to last very long in this game. I thought Josh Winder would be right on his tail as a piggyback rotation option. And I thought Bundy would get through the lineup once. And not only did he pick apart this lineup with great command, and it's not like he dominated. You know, he had two strikeouts all night. Brandon and I talked about he had six swings and misses tonight. He didn't dominate, but he was extremely efficient. He could have gone six. He's not stretched out. I also wouldn't push him a third time through the lineup. The Twins pitching staff gives them an advantage because they have 16 pitchers, because they have Josh Winder. They can just let him go through the lineup twice. And that shouldn't be the case for everybody. Like if Joe Ryan's rolling, I'm much more willing to see Joe Ryan get through a lineup a third time. But Dylan Bundy, you see the numbers last year, just not there a third time through the order. And that's true for a lot of guys, but I think the Twins can manage it well and give him some opportunities when he's stretched out in the right situations. But you got to remember, Dylan Bundy had a 6.06 ERA last year. This isn't Justin Verlander going the third time through the order and getting pulled, right? This is a guy who's coming off a really tough year, coming off an injury-filled year with his shoulder and just hasn't been good. You're not going to push it with him. Pitched extremely well. Get him out in the fifth. He leaves feeling happy. He gets the win. Twins gave up no runs tonight. The bullpen was fantastic again. Tyler Duffy bounces back. Yoan Duran threw the hardest pitch in Minnesota Twins history and the hardest pitch in Major League Baseball this year at 102. It was a fastball to J.P. Crawford. Yoan Duran's going to be the closer of this team. Like, he's going to be the closer here. There's no question. The Twins haven't had a reliever with stuff like Duran in the history of the franchise. He has some of the best stuff you'll ever see out of a Twins pitcher. It's incredible what he's able to do with the baseball. And, you know, you just hope and pray he stays healthy, continues to throw strikes. But if he does both those things, he's their closer, and he's their closer quickly. And Dick Bramer was talking about it. First step, get into a game. Check with authority. Second step, pitch a ninth inning in a non-save situation. Check with authority. 1-2-3 inning tonight. Third step is pitching a ninth inning in a save spot. I think he's ready. I think he has the stuff. I think he has the poise. I think he has the command to close games right now for the Twins. And man, what a weapon. What a weapon he'll be for them. It's a huge development for the Twins bullpen. And he's part of the reason I was saying early this year, this was before the Taylor Rogers trade. Now I was a little bit more skeptical after, but not a whole lot, that I think this bullpen can be good. It's going to take steps forward from Jorge Alcala, from Yoan Duran, from Tyler Duffy to get some of his old stuff back and some of his velocity back. But I think this bullpen has a chance to be well above average in the majors this year. And I think they showed that this first weekend. I think Rocco did a really nice job mixing and matching this weekend. He has two lefties he can go to in spots where he needs that, where he needs to get Winker out. He needs to get, you know, J.P. Crawford or Adam Frazier out. He had two lefties in Danny Coulomb and Caleb Theobald to go to. He's got high-leverage right-handed relievers, and Yoan Duran, Joe Smith can pitch later in games, preferably in the middle innings against righties. He's got options. He's got Emilio Pagano, who's throwing 95 yesterday. He's got options in this bullpen, and they have 16 pitchers, so he should have options, and he does. And I think this bullpen will be solid this year. Now, with that being said, again, these guys need to either step forward or, when they do step forward, maintain that. Both. They need to do both of those things. But so far, the returns are really, really solid. And the returns are solid on the rotation overall. You know, Joe Ryan didn't have his best command. Bailey Ober didn't have his best command. The Twins still had chances to win, you know, Ryan's start. Sonny Gray didn't have his best command in that third inning. Labored in the third inning. Twins still had a chance to win that game. They won Ober's start despite the, you know, the shoddy command, giving up that three-run homer to Mitch Haniger. So I think overall, and Bundy today kind of put a bow on it, pretty good weekend for Twins pitching. If they continue to pitch like that, they're going to win a lot of ball games this year. Let's talk about the offense. Byron Buxton, talk about Miguel Sano's struggles and Alex Kirilloff as well. After this word from BetOnline, BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wager information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline is where the game starts. Head over to BetOnline. It's a great time to play right now. It's just a great time. Head over to BetOnline. Again, it is where the game starts. Byron Buxton kicks this thing off with a walk. That was a great at-bat. Chris Flexen's on the mound for the Mariners. I don't think he had it really either, but I think the Twins overall took phenomenal at-bats tonight. And there were some bad mistakes in this game, sending Sano with Correa on deck. And after the Buxton double in the second inning with two outs, sending Sano home, he's out by a mile. That was not smart. Kirilloff and Arise not communicating well. Balls are dropping in the infield, pop-ups. It wasn't a clean game. But what I've said for the last couple of years, good teams win ugly games. I wouldn't say this game was ugly. It was a well-pitched ball game for the Twins. I wouldn't call this ugly, but there were ugly moments in this game. They could have let this game get away from them, and they didn't. And I think Byron Buxton is such a spark plug for them. He leads off the fifth with a double. No, I'm sorry. Alex Kirilloff singles, Buxton doubles, and all of a sudden the Twins are cooking. They score four runs on five hits in the fifth inning. And there's been this sense, because the Twins scored their first 13 runs of the season on the home run ball, that this is a home run reliant lineup. And I want to talk about this a little bit, because you look at the 2019 team. Would you call them home run reliant? Yes, I would call them home run reliant. I think it was overblown. Just because a team hits a lot of home runs doesn't mean they're home run reliant. But the Twins, they specifically targeted players who are in some ways all or nothing. In Jonathan Scope, CJ Krohn, Nelson Cruz ended up not being that for the Twins and hasn't been that in his career, but strikes out a lot. Guys who strike out a lot, their lineup was filled with them. And they just don't have that this year. You look at the middle of their order, Carlos Correa struck out at just a 20% clip, 20.6%, just over 20%. Luis Arraez is one of the lowest strikeout rates in the majors. Jorge Polanco doesn't strike out. Gio Urshela doesn't really strike out. Max Kepler doesn't really strike out. And Sanchez and Sano are going to strike out. Byron Buxton is going to strike out as well, but he's Byron Buxton. And Alex Kirilloff, people forget, in the minors is a top 20 global prospect, just didn't strike out. Like, line drive, all gaps hitter, contact oriented. He's not an all or nothing power hitter, but he's striking out a lot, and he's kind of going through it right now at the plate. But this is not a feast or famine lineup, and I love that they showed that tonight after hitting, you know, six home runs yesterday. And the immediate criticism is they need to score on more rallies. And I agree. And they did tonight in that fifth inning. Twins hit no home runs tonight, and they won 4-0. I mean, that's, you got to win ball games in a lot of different ways. They're going to have to do that this year. And it's just really hopeful. I mean, yesterday scoring 10 runs and winning, today scoring four runs and winning. That's how you got to draw it up. That's how you got to get it done. And if the Twins continue to do that, it's going to be what I potentially drew out this offseason, which is you have enough pitching to give your offense a chance to win games. When the offense doesn't show up, the pitching staff keeps them in it. When the pitching staff struggles, the offense keeps them in it. And that's a complimentary baseball team. And we've seen that out of the Twins. Like, we saw that in 2019. We saw that in 2020. A complimentary baseball team. That's what we're looking for this summer. And I think the last 2 days have been the definition of that. I think the last 2 days of at-bats have been great. Miguel Sano, I don't know why you'd be surprised at this point that he's struggling to make contact, striking out. I think he's 0 for 13 with like 7 strikeouts. I was hopeful that he would come into this year and not have such a slow start. I was hopeful for that, but it just doesn't look like the case for Miguel Sano. Drops to the 8th spot in the lineup. There's going to be people, even as early as it is, because this is such a recurring theme, that are going to say, like, get Miguel Sano out of the lineup. I'm willing to let him sit in the 8 hole or the 9 hole and let him figure it out, because I think the offense can pick him up. I think they can. And there are boundaries to that. This is not, he's going to go hit 050 in April and you're just going to keep trotting him out there every day at first base. He's got to do something. Like, even when he's terrible, he'll mix in some home runs. Like, I know that that bar is so low, but I am so confident in this offense. And I know the upside that he has, and that he unlocks every summer in the second half, that I'd be willing to right now let him go through it. That's what they've done. They continue to do that. And last year they pushed him into a platoon role and he busted out and had a really nice second half. A lot of Twins fans checked out after the first half last year, which I totally understand, and didn't know that Miguel Sano had a very productive second half for them. He really did. Like, very productive, had a very productive second half in 2019, was one of the best hitters in baseball in the second half of 2019. And the short in 2020 had some stretches where he was dominant, 60 games. That's even tougher on Sano, 60-game schedule, because he just doesn't have that runway. But overall, he's going to turn it on at a certain point. And I don't know if he needs more at-bats to do that. I think that's been the consensus opinion from the Twins in recent years. But I'm willing to put him in that 8-9 hole and just letting him work through it right now. And Carlos Correa is struggling, and Sano's struggling, and Kirilloff's struggling. But this offense is still, 14 runs the last 2 days. And I know that didn't happen for them in the first 2 games. It's such a small sample. I'm trying to, like, reprogram my mind. I think the lineup can support one or two guys struggling. And Brandon made a great point on the postcast. Guys are going to struggle this year, but everybody in this lineup has a chance to go on untoward stretches and kind of pick everybody else up. Let's talk about the Twins and being potentially a fun team this summer. After this word from Rock Auto, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Mention Byron Buxton leads this game off with a walk, doubles in the second inning, doubles in the fifth inning, steals the base in the sixth. It's another day, folks, where Byron Buxton did something to help the Twins win. And in this case, he did multiple things to help the Twins win. And I think also, as crazy as this sounds, can be underrated at times, because he makes catches in center field that look so easy, but they're simply not. He just glides and makes catches in center that virtually every other center fielder in baseball isn't able to make. They aren't able to make those catches that Buxton makes on a nightly basis. He's incredible. And anytime Byron Buxton's in this lineup, the Twins are going to be fun. Like, if Byron Buxton plays 130 games this year, their baseline for fun is at a really high level, because he is unspeakably fun. Just so fun to watch. So fun to watch. But you add him with Correa and with Luis Arraez and with Jorge Polanco, who's swinging the bat well now, and with, you know, Gary Sanchez and Alex Kirilloff, some guys who I think will end up performing this year, it has the potential to be a really fun lineup. And then you look at the pitching staff, and if they're able to do their job at an adequate level, get the Twins to the trade deadline, you know, pitching adequately, giving them chances to win games, and it's going to be a really fun team. They have a different energy this year. There's no question. Like, even through four games, they simply have a different energy. It's a lot of things, and it's not a lot of things. I think it's very simple, but it's also a combination of many things. The fans are back, not a ton at Target Field, but just fans are back. They don't have the stringent COVID protocols. I remember last year I was in Milwaukee for opening day, and there were like people in the hotel watching the Twins to make sure they're not leaving the hotel. Like, the pressure is off in that regard. You don't have to worry about that right now this year as much as you did last year. I think this has the potential to be a really fun year, and I think we saw some signs of that this weekend. Now, they're gonna have to cut down on some of the dumb mistakes. Like, that will cost them. What happened tonight will cost them games. You can't let balls drop. You can't make dumb sense. Like, those things can't happen. They got to refine it. You need Carlos Correa to hit. You need Miguel Sano to come through. You need Alex Kirilloff to step up. You're relying on him. A lot of things are going to have to happen. That's just on the offensive side. The pitching front is where we had most of the questions this year. So a lot of things are going to have to happen, but I've had a lot of fun watching Twins baseball over these first 4 days, and I think this team has an energy it hasn't had maybe since 2019, and I think they're really feeling the impact of, let's just go play baseball. Let's just go play ball. Maybe you don't like this, but I think there are lesser expectations on this team, and I think that could help them. They're no longer the hunted. They're the hunter. They have that new hunger, and with Carlos Correa in the building, he just demands more from everybody. Byron Buxton's your leader at the top of the lineup, signed a 7-year extension. You know he's not going anywhere. When before there were questions, where is he going to be? Will he be traded at the deadline? You know, where's Byron Buxton? No longer a question. Byron Buxton's a Minnesota Twin for the next 7 years. All of those things are contributing to a team that feels much lighter, a team that feels more fun, a team that feels like it could potentially have a lot of success this summer. And I hope that's true. Of course, I know Twins fans are crossing their fingers, hoping that's true, but it's one day at a time. It truly is. Stack good starts, stack good plays, stack good at bats, and all of a sudden you have a winning ball club. I will say, last year, tomorrow was the last day the Twins had a record at 500. I believe it was a record at 500. It might have been a game above 500. That was it. We're looking at April 12th was their last day. For the rest of the year, they were below 500. The Twins are 2-2 this year, and knock on wood, that's not happening again. It's not happening again. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making Lockdown Twins your first listen every day. I'm having fun with this team, man. I'm having fun talking with you. I'm so glad baseball's back. I'm sure you are too, and I really appreciate you listening. The podcast is doing numbers, and I do think that's because people feel a different sense with this team. I think people are excited and hopeful and optimistic that they're going to turn it around in a big-time way this summer. Make your second listen, Lockdown MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. Thank you again for listening. I'll leave you with this Byron Buxton highlight. Didn't lead to a Twins win, but this gives me the chills every time.
Get it done if he doesn't. A high fly to deep left field. Buxton turns on one into the third deck.
Go Twins.